Good morning. Today's daf in Bava Basra is Lamed Tes. We're on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We are starting three lines from the bottom. Hechidam and Macha, we're talking today about a Macha. Again, the three ingredients to the formula of Gimel Cheses Kemoshanim. Number one, you need a tiny. You need an explanation, a rational explanation as to how you are now the owner of this property. Number two, you need to be there for 3 years. Cheskes Kemoshanim demands that you are not only occupying, but as we discussed earlier in the parak, you have to make usage of the land over the last 3 years, and you have Edom, and you have witnesses saying that you've been there for the last 3 years. And finally, number three, the third component to Cheskes Kemoshanim, it has to be with no contestation. Nobody, the original owner never contested that you were there, and you have been there quietly and without any error, without any challenge whatsoever. If the original owner challenges your living there, so then you do not acquire it, meaning that the only way from this point going forward, once there's an error, once there's a contestation, so then you need a shtar. You need a document to prove that you are in fact the owner. But without that, you are not you're not the owner. So taina gimel shanim and belima cha without a protest are the three ingredients that makes you the occupier. We're going to be discussing over the course of today this idea of macha. What exactly, from the perspective of the Marakama, what does he need to do, or specifically, what does he need to say in front of who? How many people does he need to say that he is in fact still the owner, and that the current occupier is just that? He's just occupying the land, but he doesn't own it. So that's what we're going to be discussing over the course of today's daf. So we begin today with Hechidam and Macha. So what do you need to say? That's going to be our first question of the day. Rashi points out over here, again, I keep doing that, Rashbam. The Rashbam points out over here, when the Gemara asks the question, what do you need to say, Hechidam and Macha? So the Rashbam, four lines from the bottom, so he writes, Macha Shlo Befanav Kai. We're talking about when you're not there directly in front of him. As we discussed yesterday, as we're going to say again today, the Macha does not have to be Befanav. Now, some Amorim do not agree to this. Excuse me. But the halach is that it's the macha shel b'fanav havi mecha. That even if you're the original owner and you're protesting, and even if you're not directly in front of him, so that's going to be considered a macha. The Rashbam says that is our Gemara's question or issue. Meaning if you're shelo b'fanav, what do you need to say in order to register a formal and official protest? The psika la'el davi macha, as we learned earlier, as we concluded earlier, that's going to be considered macha. So, how does the formula go? So, Amar of Zvid, so back to the Gemara. Panaya gazlani hilo havia macha. So, just to call somebody a gazlan is not considered a macha. Meaning, the person is occupying your land, and you heard that he's occupying your land. And now all your declaration says is, you know what? What a thief! What a bad person he is. That's nothing. So as the Rashbam points out over here, Sharei lo lomecharte lo dahashta. Okay, sorry, not that Rashbam. Sorry, Amar of Zvid. Rashbam, three lines from the bottom. I'm sorry. Let's say he was repeated verbatim. In other words, his comment about the current occupier is what a thief. And the Edom say, yeah, you know what? You heard what he said? That is not going to be sufficient. Meaning, again, what is the whole purpose of a protest? A protest is to make sure that if the person is occupying, is in fact the owner, he's going to be holding on to his documentation. If all that's levied against him is if the only charge that's levied is, hey, that guy's a thief, and now word comes back, you know what he told you, he's a thief? Okay, fine. Fine, okay. Right, in other words, okay, he's got nine nice things to say about me. All right, fine. So, but that's not going to be considered a protest, that's not a macha. However, but let's say that the macha is specific, and specifically, he says that the person is a gazlan, specifically, he's holding on to my land, and begazlanusa, and then ulamacha tavan lebedina, and when I get back, I can't wait to get to see him in court, so that's going to be considered a macha, and that is considered a formal protest. Where now, where he comes back, so the occupier is not the de facto owner, and in fact, he's going to have to produce documentation if he wants to claim his legitimacy that he in fact owns the property. The claim over here, as provided by Rav Zvid, is extraordinarily specific, meaning we know what's not a macha, we know what is a macha. But the truth of the matter is that there's really a big difference between the general statement of he's a thief and the more specific statement of, you know what, he's a thief, he stole my land, I can't wait to see him in court. Do you need all that? Wouldn't it be just sufficient to just simply say he's a thief, he's sitting on my land? Meaning you also need to say, and I can't wait to see him in court, which is really the language of Rav Zvid. So the Rashbam discusses this very issue. The Rashbam starts on the very bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, but starting with the Rashbam on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the Rashbam writes, So first, Rashbam quotes Rabbeinu Hanan, and Rabbeinu Hanan says, you have to say all this. In other words, for it to be a formal protest, you have to say, A, he's a Goslem, B, he's sitting on my land, and C, we're gonna see each other in court, because that's where we're going. So according to Rabbeinu Hanan, Rav Zvid was extraordinarily specific in terms of what is considered a formal protest. But the Rashbam says, but I don't think you need to say all that. Lishna achrina shamati mishmus Rabbi Yaakov ben Yakar. He says, but I've heard the following from Rabbi Yaakov ben Yakar. It's a name which we've heard every now and then. Rashi quotes him. So, and the Rashi was quoting him here as well. So he was certainly one of the Rebbeim of the family. Meaning Rashi learned by him. So Rashbam over here may be quoting him secondhand, thirdhand, whatever the case is. But it's a name we've heard before within Rashi. V'ikr. And Rashbam says, and by the way, I think this is really the correct shot, which is, Panay gazan anahu v'afilu hiskar al karkazu shemachzik lav machahi sharei lo michamach masatzmo. V'ari kamo shamar ploni machzik b'karko sholacherim. Ule pigmo miskavin. If you just simply call him out to be a gazlan, so that's just pigmo. Meaning you're just saying bad things about the person, but it's nothing personal. You didn't mention anything about the property and the property being yours. But once you mention that he's a thief and he's on my land, so that's all you need. That is what creates the difference between a good protest versus a not good protest. So that's all you need to say, the Rashbam says, is that you have to mention that the land belongs to you. And even if you don't say, you know what, and tomorrow you and I are going to see each other in court, even if you don't include that, that's fine, says the Rashbam. That was just a parish. It's just like an explanation of, and he's on my land, and whether you say it or not, and we'll see each other in court tomorrow, it's kind of understood. Okay, so the Rashbam brings down a machlokus between Rabbeinu Hananel and his Rebbeim in terms of whether or not you need all the statement that Rav Zvid here puts together, and the Rashbam himself says no. You just simply need to say he's a Gazlan who's on my land. You have to make it personal. Okay, we are in Lamed Ches Amud Aleph in the Gemara. We are second line down, and we are now going to be very specific in terms of when can you assume that when you lodge a formal protest, the word is going to get back to the occupier that you are now in formal and official protest of him owning the land. And if when you come back, the only way he's now going to be able to prove it is through documentation. We're going to go through four different scenarios where one could make the argument, in fact, some do, where one could make the argument that that's not good. Even though you said the right words, word is not going to get back to the occupier. So number one, Amar lo temerle, mine. Let's say after you lodge a formal protest, then you say to the person that you protested, or as you'll see later on this morning, the people that you protested to, because as we'll see, protesting to one is insufficient. Protesting to two, and according to some opinions in the Gemara, you have to protest to a group of three people. But you say to the person, you know what? I cannot believe it. That guy's a Gazlan. He's on my property. I cannot believe it, but you know what? Don't tell him. Okay, so in scenario number one, so you tell the people that you're complaining to, but don't tell them. So is that now considered a formal and official macha, yes or no? So Amar Rizvid haka Amar lo temerle. So Rizvid said, well, he said not to tell him, so we have to assume that he's not going to tell him they're not going to tell him because that was the instruction that was given to them. So Rav Zvid said, so now it's not a good macha. Rav Papa Amar li didei lo temerle lachrina amrle. So Rav Papa says, no, let's be very clear. His instructions were, I don't want you guys to tell him. He didn't ban them from saying anything to anybody. He just simply said, I don't want you to tell him. And Rav Papa says, okay, fine, they won't tell him. But they'll tell other people. And you know what those other people are going to do? They're going to tell him. Meaning word's going to get around. As the Gemara quotes the expression that we've seen already numerous times, and today is the day to mention this expression, Chavrcha Chavre Yisrael, and Chavr de Chavrcha Chavre Yisrael. Your friend has friends, and their friends have friends as well. Word gets around. So even though your instructions were, I don't want you guys to tell them that I protested, fine. According to Rav Papa, it's still going to be a protest because word is going to get around. Number two, Amru Lei, Lo Amrinan Lei. Here in scenario number two, after he lodged a formal protest, the listeners say to him, okay, we hear you, but we're not sharing that information. We're not going to tell him that you said that. Why they made such a declaration, who knows, but okay, maybe they're afraid of the guy. Okay, we hear you, but we're not going to say anything. Now, the listeners are the ones who are saying that we are going to not share that information. So Amru Zvid Haka Amru Lei Lo Amrinan Lei. So Rezvit says again, you have to take them for the word. They say they're not going to share the information. You have to assume they're not going to share the information. And as a result of that, this is not going to be considered a macha. And again, Rav Papa says, no, it will be considered a macha. Rav Papa Amar Li Didei Lo Amrin Lei, Lachrinan Amru Lei. Chavrcha Chavre Islei, and Chavra De Chavrcha Chavre Islei. And again, Rav Papa, consistent with his, with the first psak that he said, repeats the same point over here. Even though the listeners, said that they're not going to share that information with the occupier, but they're going to share the information with other people, and they're going to share it with other people, once again, word is going to get around. And so therefore, Rav Papa says, even in this circumstance, this is considered a formal macha. Number three, Amr Lahu Lo Tepuk Lahu Shusa. In scenario number three, after he lodges a formal complaint, I cannot believe that person is on my property, he's a Goslin, it's my property. The wording is correct, but then after that he says to the listeners, and I don't want you to repeat this to anybody. Meaning as opposed to scenario number one where he says, I don't want you to repeat this to him, he says, Lo tepuk lechu shusa. The Rashbam explains the word shusa means not a peep. I do not want you passing this information. I just needed to get it off my chest. You guys listened. You did a great job. But now, from this point going forward, you keep it to yourself. Don't tell anybody. So, Amar Zvid HaKama Lotei B'Lchushusa. So, here, there's only one opinion in the Gemara, and that's Rav Zvid. And even Rav Papa doesn't argue in this scenario. And that is, you swore them to secrecy. I'm being a little bit hyperbolic when I say he swore them to secrecy. That's not the case, but he told them, he asked them, do not repeat this to anybody. You cannot count this as a machat.
But he still has registered a complaint, though. He established that he's
right. Right, but the purpose. I understand your point, but the purpose of the complaint is so that it could get back to the occupier. Over here, he said, he phrased it in a way where, it's, you know, as long as they're following its instruction, it's not going to get back to the occupier. Okay, but there has to at least be a potential where it could get back to the person who is machzik. And finally, number four, Amr Lei lo mafkinan shusa. Let's say he told them, I can't believe that this guy is on my property. He's a thief. It's my property. And their response is, we are not passing this information to anybody. So it's not he who instructs them not to pass the information on. It's they who respond, okay, we hear you, we're not telling anybody. So, here, machlokas. Or at least, I'm not sure. What I am sure, however, is Rav Papa would say, this is a macha. Am Rav Papa haka amr lei lo mafkinan shusa. So Rav Papa over here says, well, they did say, we're not telling anybody, therefore it's not a macha. And so, and it's fun, it's interesting because Rav Papa was the one previously who said, you know, word's going to get around. But over here, being that their response is, we're not telling anybody, so you have to take them at the word. They said they're not telling anybody. Rav Huna Bar Dar Yeshua Amar, and Rav Huna Bar Dar Yeshua says no. You see, here, I can easily envision that they're going to spread that information on. Even though they said, we're not telling anybody. Why? Because in the case number three, where he instructed them, look, I'm telling you, but I'm also telling you not to tell anybody. Here, if they're the ones who volunteered for whatever reason, then they're not going to pass this information to anybody. To which Rav Huna Bar Yeshua says, I'm not sure if they're going to be quiet. Why? Kol milsa de lo ramya ala di inish. Amar la velavadaite. You see, from their perspective, they're not the baldavar. They're not the litigants. They're not the owner of the property. They're not the one who's trying to create the chazaka.
They weren't told to be quiet either.
And they weren't told to be quiet. In other words, on their own, they just simply said, you know what? This is a very delicate issue. We don't want to get involved. We're not going to say anything. But being that they're not the baldavar, they're not the litigants, they don't have any personal investment in this matter, so it's going to escape their mind. Meaning, the next time there's a get-together, the next time they're at any kind of social function, so they just, you know, you need something to talk about. Well, I'll give you a story. I was away on business, and I met this guy, and he complained to me. And in other words, it's not their issue. Which interestingly leads the Gemara to the conclusion, or Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua to the conclusion, because it's not their issue, they're not going to be that careful to keep it under wraps, and they're going to tell people. Okay. Amar Rava. Okay, so just as a quick sum up. So far, what we learned this morning is A, the wording, in terms of what actually creates a formal macha. According to the Rashbam, the wording simply has to be, he's a thief and he's on my property. Gemara was a little more specific, but the Rashbam says that's really the two important ingredients to what the wording is. And number two, what if there was an exchange between the Marakama and the listeners of his complaint in terms of we're not passing this information on? And the Gemara went through four different scenarios in which of those four scenarios and only one of them, the Gemara concludes that it's not a macha, but in the other three, machlokas, but the halach is that it is going to be considered a macha. Amar Rav Nachman, macha shel b'fanav havi macha. So Rav says in the name of Nachman that a macha that's not done in front of the occupier himself, in front of the machzik himself, is going to be considered a macha. Now I know we've heard this already, and I know we started off this morning shir with that. With that phrase, at this point in time, it seems to be pretty obvious. The Rashbam writes, "Machashlo b'fanav havi macha." Rashbam is about 2/3 of the way down the wide lines. Is second word in the line of macha, the deeper amascha, machashlo b'fanav havi macha. V'lo be'ina shishalech shlucho limchos b'fanav. The Rashbam says the chiddush of the Gemara is as follows: all you need to do is lodge a protest, and you don't need to send word. Just simply you complaining in front of a group of people, again, we'll discuss later this morning how big a group, but by you complaining to a group of people is enough. All you need to do is lodge a formal protest in front of a group of people. As long as you properly protested the occupation of your land, that is sufficient. You don't have to make sure word gets back to the original owner. Okay.
Rabbi Shugim,
yes.
We learned earlier that a rumor could be considered a macha. So why are we so concerned about wording?
Yeah, but in other words, but it has to be, there has to at least be a potential of a clear communication. Meaning that if you just simply, like the Gemara said in the beginning of today's shiur, if you just simply said he's a thief, good. And let's assume that gets back to him. Okay, he called me a thief. I don't know what the issue is, meaning he doesn't like me. Okay. In other words, there has to at least be the potential where you worded correctly and that information is going to get back to him. So the Gemara challenges Rav Nachman with the following, and that is our Mishnah. I'm Rav Yehuda. Now, remember in our Mishnah, which we just saw yesterday, Lamed Chesamad Aleph. So the Mishnah described how, according to the Tanakhama, the Eretz Yisrael is divided into three provinces, where there's an assumption that we learned in yesterday's daf, that there's no communication between the three provinces. So if you're occupying a land in one place and the original owner is in another of the provinces, so we're going to assume that there's no word that's passed between one and the other. And then the Mishnah taught us the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which is, you know why there's a three-year occupation requirement? It has nothing to do with holding documentation. People hold on to the documents for 3 years. People don't hold it on longer. It has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with, taught Rabbi Yehuda back in the mission yesterday's daf, travel time. If the owner's in Spain, so a year of occupation, a year traveling out to Spain, and then Rabbi Yehuda says, and then he's going to come back in order to properly claim what is rightfully his. That is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. So now the Gemara is going to be quoting Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So, and Rav is challenging Rav Nachman. I'm Rabbi Yehuda lo Amr Shal Shanim Ela. kol shiyehi bas panya v'yachtik shana v'yelcho v'yodiyuhu shana v'yavolu shana cheres. Good. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah. Now, Isak dam mecha shlo b'fanav havi mecha. So let's assume that Rav Nachman, you're right. Right? This is Rav saying to Rav Nachman. Let's assume you're right. Let's assume that a protest does not have to be directly in front of the person. And even if it was done away from him, that's considered a good macha. So why did Rabbi Yehuda back in our Mishnah say, and you need a full year for him to return back to his land? It's not true. You don't need a full year for him to return back to his land. Once he lodged a protest, so then word travels. And presumably, word travels going to be, word is going to travel a lot faster than the legs can go. So,
but he said from one province to Israel to the other one.
Well, that's just Tanakama. That's just Tanakama. Okay. So, the Havia Mechal, Lamele, Lemesa Lesev, Hasam Aduchte, Velimche Hasam, why does he need to go back over there? In other words, the Mechal, the protest that he lodged all the way in Spain, that by itself should be sufficient. Now, just a couple of interesting points before we see an answer to this question. Number one, he's asking Akasha based on Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, we don't hold like Rav Yehuda. We hold like the Tanakama. So, it is interesting that that when Rav is challenging Rav Nachman, he's using Shitas Rav Yehuda. But presumably what you'll say, and the Rashma addresses this a little, Tosus addresses this a little, you can see both. But basically what you can say is that even though Rav Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakama, but presumably on this particular point, Kulei Alma, everyone's in agreement that the original owner needs to come back in order for his protest to work. So, Rav Nachman, you said macha even shalom b'fanav is going to be sufficient. We just learned on the Mishnah, no, you got to come back to the land. So the Gemara says that's not a requirement to macha. Why does the Mishnah make that point? Eitza tova kamash malan. Denesu v'nishkal ara upere. I'm sorry, upere. Sorry. The stop of the word of pay rate. Okay? And the Gemara says, no, there's really no requirement for him to come back in order for the macha to be good macha. And the protest is going to be lodged and filed and acceptable the moment he makes a protest, even if he is not directly in front of the person who is occupying. But what the Mishnah is telling us is, look, you're away on business. You're far away. Somebody's been occupying your land. You know what I would suggest to you? I suggest you go back. Because if you don't go back, and all you do is just lodge a formal protest, yes, it's true that later down the road, you'll come back, and you did file a complaint, and that complaint has been lodged, and you'll take him to court. But meanwhile, all the fruit that he's been eating all these years, you know what? Eitz Atova, just as good sound advice, somebody's occupying your land, somebody's eating the fruit off your land, you better get back, otherwise you're going to have even more problems. That's what the Mishnah means when it says you come back. But that's not a halach and macha. That's just good, sound financial advice. Now, now, in the exchange that we just saw in the Gemara between Rav Nachman and Rava, where Rav Nachman says, you don't need a macha b'fanav. And Rava says, wait, what about the Mishnah? And the Gemara defended Rav Nachman, or Rav Nachman defended Rav Nachman. Either way, where does Rava stand on this issue? Well, from the fact that he's challenging Rav Nachman, sounds like he's of the opinion that macha shel b'fanav lo havia macha. Sounds like he's arguing on this idea that you don't need to be in front of him when you lodge a protest. So the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rava macha shel b'fanav hav macha." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but he said it himself. So why is he challenging Rav Nachman when meanwhile he agrees with the principle?" So Basta Deshami, Rav Nachman Savra. So the Gemara says, very simple. Yeah, there was a point in Rava's learning where he said that in order for the protest to be a valid protest, you have to say it directly to the person who is being machzik your karka. But then after he heard it from Rav Nachman and he thought about it more and more, so he changed his mind. He reversed his position, and he took Rav Nachman's viewpoint that the macha does not have to be in front of the person who is occupying your property. Okay. Four lines from the bottom on Lametes Amid Beis, on Lametes Amid Aleph, sorry, Ashkechinu Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Tamidav de Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lehu Mi Amar Rav Yochanan Macha Bekama. So, he meaning Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina, met with students of Rav Yochanan, and he asked the students, "Nu, did your Rebbe ever tell you anything regarding when you lodge a protest, it has to be done in front of how many people?" So far this morning we talked about the wording of the machah. We talked about making sure that the exchange gets back to the owner. Now, in a related discussion, the Gemara now wants to know, how many people do you need to lodge a protest in front of in order for the protest to be a formal and official protest? So he asked the students of Rav Yochanan, what did your Rebbe say? So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Macha Bifnei Shnayim, and Rabbi Abahu Amar Rav Yochanan Macha Bifnei Shlosha. So I don't know how to explain this when the students are quoting Rav Yochanan, one saying two, one saying three, meaning maybe the students, you know, in these kinds of scenarios, generally speaking, when there's machlokas in the Gemara, so we like to give analysis and conceptualization of what they're arguing about, and maybe they're looking at the same thing from two different viewpoints. Over here, there literally are two different opinions about what Rav Yochanan said, whether he said with two or whether he said three. So it's hard to abstract this Gemara in and say, well, maybe they're looking at the same point, but coming from two different perspectives. It's hard to say that over here. Maybe Rav Yochanan in one shear said two and another shear said three. Maybe Rav Yochanan himself grappled with this issue. Okay. Anyway, two different opinions quoted in the name of Rav Yochanan. So, it's either two or it's going to be three. Lema b'derava b'ravuna kamifli. So the Gemara says, well, maybe over here what they're arguing about is within the shita of Rava b'ravuna. Rava b'ravuna makes the following declaration in the Gemara in Erechim. And here, today's daf, we're going to have a little bit of an interplay between the halachas of macha and the halachas of lashon hara. Okay, Gemara in Erechim discusses lashon hara. It is the main source in Shas, discussing in detail the halachas of lashon hara. You cannot speak disparagingly about another person. Last week's parsha also speaks to this idea, and we're going to see it again in Vayikra. So you cannot. The Lashon Hara, you can't say anything derogatory about another person. The Gemara over there in Erechim, and our Gemara quotes it as well, and the halacha goes like this. If you're going to say something in front of three people, so Leis Be Mishum Lishna Bisha is not subject to Lashon Hara. At the surface reading of the Gemara, what the Gemara sounds like is that, well, you're not allowed to say something disparaging about another person, but as long as you say in front of three people, then it's okay. Now, you and I know that that cannot possibly be the reading, the correct understanding of the Gemara. I mean, just simple logic. If saying something to one person, if saying something bad about another person to one person is considered Lashon Hara, so saying it in front of three people, for sure, is Lashon Hara. So that's not what the Gemara means. What does the Gemara mean? So, a couple of ways to say over the Gemara. I'll start with the Rashbam. It happens to be right here in our daf. So we'll start with the Rashbam over here. The Rashbam on the bottom of the Amud called Milsa Shel Ganai. If you're saying something disparaging, Dimit Amra Be'ape Tlas Aleis Be'mishum Lishnabisha, the last Rashbam on the Amud, he writes, Im Yachzeru V'yomru Lezeh, Kach Amar Ploni Alecha. The Rashbam says, we're not talking about the original speaker. The original speaker who said something disparaging in front of three people, he violated the Isser of Lashon Hara. That goes without saying. But we'll say it. It's after one of those three people then repeats the comment to the person that was spoken about, so he didn't violate Lashon Hara. Why? V'tamik adam farsh berachin b'yesh berachin ma'itamach chavach chavri yisleh v'amar abaye hasim d'chol milsa David aliglu le'ilais ben mishum lishna bisha. Once it's said in front of three people, you can assume now that this is going to be common knowledge. So therefore, if you're one of the three, and then you report that this is what was said, so because it was said in front of three, and because now the assumption is that this is common knowledge, so you now, who passed that information on, you're not subject to Lashon Hara. But it goes without saying, but I'm not going to let it go without saying. But the person who spoke it to begin with, for sure he's in violation of Lashon Hara. V'hilkach, now, that's the Rashbam's explanation of the Gemara in Erechim. Okay, a little bit later on I'll give you a couple of other explanations of what the Gemara in Erechim means. But in the meantime, however, just to stay with our Gemara and on point with our Gemara, here's how the Gemara is connecting the point of Lashon Hara and the halachas of Macha. And I'm doing so with the Rashbam. Just reading out of the Rashbam.
Is it Rechilas, sir?
Huh?
It would be Rechilas.
Repeating something that wasn't... Come back to me in a minute with that question. I'll I'll address it. V'hilka chabi macha nami milsa davide legluya be'inan. Meaning, and now, using that idea that, once you say something in front of three people, we are going to assume now that whoever you spoke about is going to hear it. So now, translating that to the halachas of macha, so therefore, in order for you to lodge a protest, you have to do so in a way where the occupier is going to hear it. So once we say that by lashon hara, three people hear it, word's going to get around. So therefore, in the halachas of macha, if you're lodging a protest, it has to be in a way in which word is going to get around. Kedeshi yizar ha-machzik b'shtaro olahachi pligi mandam b'fnei shtayim leislei derav v'ravuna debay klasa dehafi l'betrei avi delei gluye v'ava b'macha b'fnei shtayim. And that the Gemara now is suggesting is the machlokas between the two Talmidim of Rav Yochanan, the one that says two doesn't subscribe to this idea of Rabba Baravuna, that only when you say it in front of three words going to get around, even if you say it in front of two words going to get around, and just finishing off this Rashbam on the top of the next Amud, Ula Inyan Lashna Hara, Leis Be Mishum Lishna Bisha, Hechadimit Amr Kamitre. And then, that would also mean, says the Rashbam, that in the world of Lashon Hara, if you say it in front of two, meaning if you don't subscribe to this rule of Rabba Ravuna, if you say it in front of two, so then you can safely assume that word's going to get around as well. Okay, so this is what the Gemara is suggesting, that the two Talmid of Rav Yochanan, one said two, the other said three. And they're both, and they're both demanding that in order for the machal to be a formal protest, the word has to get back to the occupier. So maybe what they're arguing is, exactly, when do we assume word's going to get around? It's when you say in front of three, or when you say in front of two, and the Gemara says, and it's very similar, it runs parallel to the halachas of Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says, now let's go back to the Gemara. I'm reading in the Gemara. So I'm just reading the last line again of Lama Tessa Med Aleph. Kol milsa demetam rabapi klasa, leis b'mishim lishna bisha. So man damar, now the Gemara is just simply saying what we just said in the Rashba. Man damar bifnei shayim leis lei derabba baravuna, uman damar bifnei gimel is lei derabba baravuna. So the Gemara says, then perhaps now that is the yesod hamachlokes. The Gemara says, lo. Gemara says no. Dekule ama islu derava beravuna. As far as the halacha of lashon hara are concerned, so the halacha is like Rava beravuna, that once something is said in front of three people, we're going to assume gilui milsa, that this is going to be eventually brought. It's going to be common knowledge. V'hacha b'hacha mifli, over here by macha, the issue could be a different issue, which is mandam rebifnei shtaim kasavra macha shlo b'fanav lo havia macha. The one who says that you have to do it in front of two, so he subscribes to the viewpoint of Rava, Rav Nachman, who says that a machal does not have to be done in front of the machzik. Umanda mibne gimel kasav machal shel bafanav havi machal. And the one who says three is of the opinion that a machal shel bafanav is going to be considered a good machal, which means that I need the word to get around in order so that even though I'm not directly in front of him, but the word is going to get back to him. That is one way to explain the machlokas between the Talmidim of Rav Yochanan. Ibai Sema, the Gemara is going to give us another way, which is Dekuliyama, according to everyone, Machal Shel Bafanav Havi Machal. That even if I protest and I'm not in front of the occupier, that's going to be a Machal. V'achaba Kamifli, Mandar Mebifnei Beisavar, Sahadusa Be'inan. The one who says two, why only two? Why do you only need to say it in front of two? Because really what you need is edus. You need testimony. And like the Torah teaches us, in order to create edus, you need two. And the one who says three says no. You need more than edus. You need... Excuse me, you need a gilui milsa. You need that the word, in fact, is going to get back to the original owner.
Why can't we look at a three as like a bait instead of...
It's another way to look at it. The Gemara doesn't suggest it. What you're saying, I hear what you're saying is reasonable, but the Gemara does not offer that as a possibility.
Minimum eight is two. So
no,
Just before we go on to the Gemara, we're going to finish off the daf in just a couple of minutes. But just, I want to go back to this statement of Rava Rav Huna. So we said that if you say something in front of three people, so leis be mishum lishna bisha, not subject to lashon hara. So we already shared with you the Rashbam. The Rashbam says that after the three people hear it, now you can assume it's common knowledge. So for one of them to report it, that's not going to be considered lashon hara, because now we assume it's common knowledge. That's the Rashbam's explanation of our Gemara. In terms of another way to explain this Gemara, so here, I'll show you Tosfos over here. It's a short Tosfos. Really, it's Tosfos over here, but if you want to understand Tosfos over here, you also have to take a look at Tosfos and Erechin. So I'll read the Tosfos here inside, and I'll tell you the Tosfos and Erechin outside. And it's an interesting pshat. The Chafetz Chaim, everybody knows, before I go through the Tosfos over here, so the Chafetz Chaim, Rav Yisrael Meir Kagan, writes a sefer on Lashon Hara. It's called the Chafetz Chaim. He's most popularly known by the sefer. As it relates to the laws of Lashon Hara. As a historical curiosity, the Shulchan Aruch who codified the halachas of the Torah, not all of them, just the ones that are practical. He didn't write a section about karbanos, and he didn't write a section about taharos, but he wrote about four sections that have to do with the practical halacha. So as a historical curiosity, he didn't dedicate a section to Lashon Hara. I can't tell you why he didn't. I don't know. So it's certainly a curiosity. So the Rav Yisrael Meir Kagan, and by the way, it is curiosity because there are Gemaras about it, there are Rishonim about it, meaning it's halacha. And as we all know, it's very practical halacha. So, okay, it's a curiosity. Meantime, the Rav Yisrael Meir Kagan, who was in Radin, he was Nifter in 1933, I believe. So he famously popularized the halachas of Lashon Hara, and he wrote a sefer on it, and he brought it to the forefront, meaning that the ideas of not speaking Lashon Hara, he codified. He put in a sefer. And in it, so he discusses at length this idea that once you stand in front of three, so it's not subject to Lashon Hara, right? Which the Gemara here is telling us, and so I highly recommend it. It's, you know, it really does an excellent job just in terms of trying to demonstrate, you know, what is and what isn't considered Lashon Hara.
So, the differentiation between using the term Lashon Hara and Lashon Bishon?
Well, I mean, the Gemara speaks Aramaic, so...
Is Aramaic?
Yeah. So it could... Right. Okay. Yeah. Yes. In other words, the Gemara just simply means it from an Aramaic standpoint. Okay, and so let's take a look at Tosfos over here in terms of what the Gemara means. And Tosfos writes, second Tosfos on the Amud. Leiz be mishum lishna bisha perush laoser sheomer lifnei gimel. So when we're saying it's not Lashon Hara, we're not talking about the people who heard it. We're actually talking about the person who spoke it. The one who speaks in front of three, as long as he's saying in front of three, it's not Lashon Hara. Now, what does that mean? Again, I go back to the question that I asked earlier. Can't be. Right, to get right, it's against the Rashbam. So it can't be, meaning if you're saying something disparaging in front of one person, that's Lashon Hara. If you're saying in front of three people, that's for sure Lashon Hara. That's super Lashon Hara. Right. So, Debeperek Yesh Beherachin, Maisi Allah, Hadam Rav Yossi Me'olam, Lo Amarti Davar Vechazarti La'acholrai. So, in order to understand this, so we're going to quote a Gemara in Erechin, and the Gemara Erechin quotes a statement by Rabbi Yossi, which is, I never had to say anything and look around after I said it. Okay? If you know basic human nature, sometimes when you say something about somebody, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh no, he's right here, or she's right here, and I cannot believe I said it, and you know, your stomach drops. So, okay, I'm not saying I've ever experienced that feeling. I'm not saying that, but that'd be Lashon Hara about myself. So, So Rav Yossi in the Gemara Erechin says, never experienced that. Why? Because I never said anything disparaging about a person. I never had to worry about saying something behind somebody's back, because I never said anything bad about people. So Perush Shelo Hayachoshesh Im Yishmu Labalim. And he was never concerned about the person hearing it because he never said anything disparaging. Okay. Now that's Tosfos over here. Tosfos over here is very succinct, extraordinarily brief. What does Tosfos mean over here? You take a look at the Tosfos in Erechin, and he says like this. Look, if you say something bad and disparaging about a person, of course it's Lashon Hara. And it doesn't matter if you say it in front of one person, say it in front of three people, it is Lashon Hara. Absolutely. But let's say you don't say something bad or disparaging, you say something which could be interpreted as bad, it could be interpreted as good as well. Right? Right. That guy is a fresser. Okay. He enjoys eating a lot. Okay. Right. The Gemara in Erechin has a description over there. Right. His oven is lit all the time. Right. He's eating a lot.
But
now.
No, he must be eating.
Right.
He's
right.
An infant.
So you're saying something which is ambiguous. You could mean it as good. You could mean it as bad. So Tosos says there in Erechin, and Tosos over here, I assume, is making the same point as well. If you're saying it in front of three people, so now we know your intent is not to malign a person, because we have a general rule that once you say something in front of three people, the word's going to get back to the person that you're talking about. If you're saying something bad, that's Lashon Hara. If you're saying something which is somewhere in the middle between bad and good, and it has a certain ambiguity to it, and it could be interpreted in one of two ways, when you're saying in front of three, we're going to give you, or the person who is you're speaking about, is to give you the benefit of the doubt. Because look, I know what I'm saying about the person is not bad. I'm saying it in front of three people. I'm assuming it's going to get back to that person. And so I didn't mean it to be bad. Now again, this only works if what you're saying could be interpreted one of two ways. If you're saying something that is objectively bad, so then of course it's Lashon Hara. That's Tosus and Erchin. I assume Tosus over here means the same thing as well. And that's another way to understand Ba'ape Telasa. That once you say something in front of three people, it's not Lashon Hara. Only in this circumstance that I just laid out. Okay, there's actually more to this discussion. There's the Rambam as well, but just on the daf today, we saw the Rashbam, we saw Tosfos. Rashbam says it's talking about the people who hear it. From that point going forward, it's not Lashon Hara. And according to Tosfos, even the person is saying it, but only when he's saying something which is ambiguous. Let's finish up today's daf. We are just finishing up with a story. Gidol Bar Menyume. We're on Lamed Tes Lamed Beis. We are halfway down the Amud. Gidol Bar Menyume Havalei Machvas LaMachve. So he had a protest. Ashkechinu LeRav Huna Ulechia BarRavu LeRav Chilke BarTuve DeHave Yasve UMachre Kamayu. So he had a protest that he had to make. So he sat down three Amorayim and he lodged a formal protest. Lashana Hadar Asa LeMchuye. Next year he wanted to protest again, meaning he was away from his property. Somebody was occupying his property. So he already lodged a formal protest in front of three. And then next year he wanted to do it again. So So they say to him, unnecessary. You did already. You lodged your formal protest. You're good. Once you lodge a formal protest, you don't have to repeat your protest. Now, the Gemara has a slightly different version, but the same point. Once you lodge a formal protest, you don't need to repeat it. However, the Gemara quotes in the name of Bar Kapara. The Gemara quotes in the name of Reish Lakish in the name of Bar Kapara, that you have to do so at intervals of less than 3 years. Because even if you lodge a formal protest, but then you let 4 years go by. So between your last protest and your next protest, 4 years go by. So that's
why didn't he get his property back in these 3 years?
He should have. I mean, he's been away for a long time. But once you let an interval 3 years go by, then he didn't have to keep his shtar from that point going forward. So you have to continuously protest within intervals of less than 3 years. So the Gemara says, well, once he lodged his first protest, so now at that point in time, his reputation is that of a Gazlan. So the Gemara says, well, first of all, that's very strong language. Gazlan Sagadacha, meaning we have a debate over here, a dispute between who the owner of the property is. You're ready to call the guy who's living on the land of Gazlan? That's very strong language. Ella, ki Gazlan, yesh lo chazaka. All right, fine. I'll soften the language a little bit. He's not a Gazlan, but ki Gazlan, he's like a Gazlan, meaning he's living on a land that somebody's challenging his ownership of that land, and now you want to tell me that after that point going forward, now he's living on the land for more than 3 years, he's going to own the land? That's a little bit strange. Nevertheless, the Gemara concludes, Amarava, Hilchas Tzarech Limchos Besof Gimel V'Gimel. Okay? Rava says, but the halacha is that you have to lodge a protest within 3 years of your last protest. So, if you're going to be away for a very long time, and you want to lodge a formal protest, it has to be within the 3 years of occupation, and from that point going forward, it has to be within 3 years of your last protest. Today, we covered, so far, in today's daf, this is just a quick recap. We covered the wording in terms of what a machal has to be. We talked this morning about what if there was some sort of communication between the protester and the people hearing him about, hey, we're not going to pass this word on. The Gemara gave four different scenarios in terms of whether or not you can assume what's going to get passed on. The Gemara discussed machashla b'fanav. The Gemara concluded, as it did yesterday's daf, and it does so again today's daf, that a machashla b'fanav is considered macha. You don't have to do so directly to the person who's occupying your land. The Gemara discussed a question of how many people need to be hearing your macha. Is the number two or is the number three? The Gemara gave a couple of ways to explain the machlokas. The Gemara created a parallel between the halachas of macha and the halachas of lashon hara. The Gemara quoted the statement of Rava bar Ravuna, where that if you say something in front of three people, it's not subject to lashon hara. We saw this morning two pshatim of that Gemara, the Rashbam and Tosfos, in terms of what that means. And then we concluded today with a question of, and at what kind of frequency do you have to make a protest? The Gemara had a debate in terms of whether you protest once, do you have to protest again? Bar Kapara says you do not need to protest again. Rava says no. You need to continuously protest within a 3-year interval of your last time that you protested.